wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time we have. Precious, O Lord, is the time when thy saints are gathered together before thee. To come before thee, Lord, and offer sacrifices of praise and worship unto thee, unto thy great name. Even today, Lord, as we come, we give you all the praise and the thanks, O Lord, for all that you have done for us. We bless thy holy name. And even as you approach thy once again, Father, break down the bread of life. Help us all to understand further, Lord, and bring all that which we have learned to remembrance. And especially for the young ones, Lord, they may have an understanding, Lord, of what you have done and what you are doing in the life of your people. Asking for your grace, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Last week, we're on the prehistorical world. We know that this world, or this earth that we have, was created aeons of time ago. Ages ago. Not thousands of years, but beyond the 6,000 years that we know modern man have been on this earth. And we left off with the angels being the one that have dominion upon this earth. And so, of course, we have the Eden that was then at that time were given to the angels to have their dwelling place, to be their dwelling place where they have authority over all the animals in that prehistorical age. Now when we look at the Bible, when we look into the Bible did not give us much details regarding that age. But we realize that there was an age prior to the existence of mankind. And we all know that mankind today are traced back up to 6,000 years ago. History only goes right back to the time of Adam. And we know that chronologically it's about 6,000 years. And not more than that. But science have found in their archaeological research and deep, they found all these forces that when they look at it, they realize that it could not be 6,000 years ago. These forces are animals and skulls of animals or skulls that look like man. And they look at it and examine it, and they know that this could not be modern man or any man from the time of Adam till now. And of course, science has always been arguing about carbon dating. Sometimes the carbon dating say, oh, it goes to so many millions years, so many million years, which is actually, of course, carbon dating are not very accurate, not true. But by looking at the skulls and all of the animals and the looks of mankind, we realize there must be a species of being that date before Adam's age. So of course, since man, science called it prehistorical, means that prehistoric means before Adam, rather, or pre-Adamic, we would say. So we call it pre-Adamic man, or prehistoric man, or prehistoric animals. Alright? So then when we look and use this term, some Christian say that that's not true. There's no such thing as prehistoric world. There was never such an age. And there are champions for 6,000 years of this earth. They say that this earth is very new. It's a young earth. It's not an old earth. When we say about prehistorical, we know they are referred to an old earth. But when they say the earth is young, it's only dated back about 6,000 years ago. And there have been, of course, all the theories and all that, but they try to prove, of course, that dinosaur existed in the days of Noah, in the days of Adam. And we know that for those who do not believe in that, could ask questions where they couldn't even answer. So, theories here, theories there aside. We put that aside. But by just looking at the scriptures, let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Even the verse in itself, as I said, chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2 said, and the earth was without form and void. Now, in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18, we know that God created this earth to be inhabited. It's never created to be a waste. And especially the whole universe of stars and planets and solar system, God has given this earth only to mankind. You know, I believe it was the President of America, Gerald Ford. I think it was Gerald Ford. Alright. I believe he was the one who said, we should spend money and go out into space and find out whether there are other civilization or beings. You know. Now, why waste the amount of money when the Bible, why can't you look for the answer in the Bible and be satisfied with it? The Bible tells us the whole universe belongs to God. But the earth has it given to man. So don't waste money, go out there in all the systems to find where they are alien. Of course, unless you believe in what is that place up there in America called? Roswell? Area 51? Or whatever. They believe the alien had landed there and blah, blah, blah. And they create all these mini series on television. And a lot of people believe that. Some say they were adopted. And yet they came back. And they will tell the story. And they will testify in such a way that you think that they are real. You know, there are a lot of people that live in the fantasy world. And some say, oh, they see alien spaceship and all these things. And sometimes you have seen magazine where they show the picture and all this stuff. You know. So they believe that there are beings out there. And they all look like E.T. Big head, small body and all that. You know, human beings are just that we all like fantasy. We like something supernatural, something unusual. You see. But we know for sure in the Bible is all these years, 6,000 years, when we are the only one that are intelligent that's on this planet Earth. And of course, there are a lot of theories about that the pyramid was built by aliens. The Mayan Empire, the Mayan pyramids out there were also built by some aliens. You know. And the Stonehenge, also maybe from the aliens. But we must be satisfied with the Bible. If it says the only planet belongs, that God has given to mankind, so be it. Is that right? Why not use the money and be building something good for mankind on Europe, rather than spend it on this machine that goes on to space. And now you have Stephen Hawking, the man who's in the scientist who's in the polio wheelchair, and now man must go beyond Earth and dwell some other planets. You know, I wonder sometimes all this intelligence, all these scientists with all the brains in their head, sometimes the Bible says that's true, it looks more like a fool. And come all these kind of ideas coming out. Alright. So when we look at this Bible, it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2 says the earth was without form and void. Something tells us there is something wrong here. Now when we look into your King James Version, and any particular version today, Very few versions will give you the right interpretation, right translation of verse 2. And because of this, theologian says that when God created this heaven and earth, when He first brought it out, this earth had no shape. It was a waste land. And then the Spirit of God began to work on it. Now that is kind of strange, isn't it? The Bible should tell us like this. We all know whenever you begin something to create, you have all your material piled up in one place. There's no shape, nothing. There's all material. But you cannot say that was a creation. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Full stop. That means there is something useful already working there. You understand? So why mention about this formlessness and and void? So actually the translation in Rotherham translation give you this. He said, and the earth had become without form and void. The earth had become. Then something transpired between the first verse and the second verse. Now many times in Bible translation we must understand, of course there are those who are very particular and very critical about using only the King James Version. You know. But we must understand that you translate a word from one language to another, exactly word for word translation is never easy. You see? That's why you need to look at the Amplified Bible or some other version to really understand what it actually means. So that was in the beginning. I don't know how many tens of hundreds of thousands of years or millions of years ago when God brought it out, the earth was perfect. The earth was to be inhabited. In verse Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18 said the earth was created to be inhabited. But sometime later on the earth became wasted. The earth became formless, became a waste earth, a planet. That means something happened. And that is why we realize then that between the prehistorical age and the new age, between the earth becoming void and formless, there was a time when all the angels were tested. Now this doctrine that we have, the prehistorical age, are never even popular among many end-time message people. And when you talk about the testing of Lucifer, prior to his entry into the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve was, it is also a doctrine not held by many anti-message believers. You know, they said Barabbas never taught it. But there was one statement about believer, right? Barabbas talked about the seed that is lying there. Something that he referred to the past. You know. And we must ask ourselves a question. When Adam and Eve was created and was in the Garden of Eden, 6,000 years ago, Satan came using the serpent to tempt Eve. Is that right? Then at what point in time was Satan, when he became Satan, and we know that was Lucifer. So at what point in time was Lucifer fallen? Or when he became Satan? And Satan means the adversary of God. At what point in time then that Lucifer became Satan, that is to say? It must be before Adam and Eve was created. He could not, there are some that teach us that Satan came, Lucifer became Satan just to come and tempt Eve. Now, that doesn't make sense. We know that at some point in time passed, before Adam and Eve existed, that Lucifer became Satan. Is that not right? Huh? Okay, now, there is a point in time in every one of you who accept the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a certain point in time when you were a sinner turned saint. Am I not right? Yes or no? There is a certain point in time. You see? So then when we realize then that the Lucifer and all the angels that God created must have existed prior to Adam and Eve. And they are also by looking at signs, and I said true signs will verify the Bible. And vice versa. Because the Bible is facts. True signs is also facts. It wouldn't lie. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So now when we look back to Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, the whole earth, as we know, was beautiful. Then there was a place called the Garden of Eden, of precious stones, not vegetation, where Lucifer and all the angels dwelt, and they have dominion over the earth. And of course, at that time we have, as I said, we have the dinosaurs, we have the early man, prehistoric man, we were saying. And to this day, there are some Christians that don't believe there are such thing as a different mankind, that all those skulls that scientists found, they are actually born of man, which is not true, because some of the skulls are really not. There is a people at that time that exist. But the majority of, but you must understand that when we call that prehistoric man, we use the word man. Just to denote that it is an upright creature like us, look like us. And, but they were not created in the image and likeness of God. They were just like the animal kingdom. They were not created in the image and likeness of God. Do you understand that? Okay? And so of course they can communicate among themselves, but the Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail, and science are still trying to understand, and that's why they produce all this evolution stuff. But we do know that there are forces that prove that they were prior to the time of Adam and Eve. But we know that, that the strangest thing that we find today in fossils are a whole lot of dinosaurs. We have a lot of T-Rex being found. Right? And all the Velociraptor and the Stegosaurus and all of those bones, and even you have the Seismosaurus, the biggest they ever found in China. So if those animals were so huge and they are so common that you can see them all over the world in museums, then we wonder how many early men actually, what is the percentage of the early men actually exist? And, well, anyway, what we have is that the angel will have dominion over the earth. Now, let us go to Ezekiel 28. In Ezekiel 28, here we have, of course, the judgment. Ezekiel chapter 28. Alright, here was, here in this chapter, God is judging the prince of Tyrus. But if you look at the way that the judgment came upon him, it goes beyond just the man. It goes to the spirit that's behind the man. Now remember when Jesus rebuked Peter. He said to Peter, looking at Peter, he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," right? Now he was getting at the spirit that moved Peter to do or say those things that were contrary to the plan of God. So the same way here, we have this word of the Lord that came through Ezekiel to the prince of Tyrus to judge him. The word of God was going beyond the man, it was going at the spirit. So we read the verse 2. "Son of man," said to the prince of Tyrus, "thus said the Lord, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas." Well, that is true that the prince of Tyrus wanted to be lifted up, to be worshipped among all the people, the sea. But yet it was a spirit behind that, and there was, you know, Satan working in Tyrus, or in the prince. In verse 3 said, Thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Of course, I think Daniel is the wisest, but he was talking about Satan when he was Lucifer. He was really wise. We can look at other verses of scripture where he says that Lucifer was a total sum of beauty and wisdom and so on. Verse 5, by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic thou hast increased thy riches and thy heart is lifted up. Refer again to the angelic being, Lucifer. Because, verse 6, because thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God. Verse 8, they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Now verse 12 is where we have the major part of it onwards from there. The last part of verse 12 says, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And that's how beautiful Lucifer really is. Now, as I said, the name Lucifer means son of the morning. Not morning star. A lot of people say morning referring to morning sun. No. Morning star is a title referring to Christ. Okay? But Lucifer is called the son of the morning. And he says here, right here, thou seal up the sum. Sum means all of it. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And I said this before, and I believe it is true. Do you know that the Jew has so much the knowledge of their own Torah? Because it was passed down. Of course, throughout the year, there were a lot of traditional things that were passed down that were not true. But there were a lot of truth that came down to the Jews today. And one other thing about it is, if you know, in Hollywood today, practically the movie world is controlled by the Jew too. And many movies are made by the Jews. Superman is one that are made by the Jews. You probably wouldn't know about it. And you know what? They have, when they make certain movies about something that related to the Bible or has certain image of Bible time, they will always create something that try to represent it. And I said there was one, a series of mini movies that was about some 20 years back, I think it was. We have this, that is something about a spaceship. They're looking for a new earth, a new place to go. And the word that there was, according to it, was a parallel earth. It was not really earth, but it was a parallel earth. And the man, captain of the ship is called Adama. If you don't come from Adam. And aboard the ship, there was this, what, I don't know whether you call him humanoid or whatever it is. It was called Lucifer. You know, it was like a creature and he sparkled. He shined. There's light sparkling out of him. You know, I was wondering, wow. You know, the mind of movie makers, they try to make something, to come get something out of the Bible to project something. And you know, they are not far from the truth. You see. And that is what the Bible here says, you sit up the sun, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And of course, when people in theological school or in, traditionally, they believe that this was referring to the garden of Eden where Adam and Eve was. But it wasn't so. It was the garden of precious stones. Now we look further, it says, every precious stone was thy covering. The sword is topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. And the workmen of thy tabla and of thy pipe were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. What is, I mean, if we talk about this as a prince of Tyrus, it doesn't make any sense, isn't it? It's talking about the spirit. That is, Lucifer practically could sing. And in that mini series, you know, I was looking at, he moved very, very gracefully. And when he talked, he got music coming out. So, wow. See, you know, I was thinking the imagination of movie producer. And of course, this being a Jew, you know, the priest was a Jew, so he definitely has some idea about what he is trying to do. You know. And I wonder whether, if we look into the scripture, many Christians will look into the scripture, would they be able to try to picture how Lucifer looked like? Can you picture how angels look like? And you know, and you know, and I know, that we, there are pictures on that's what they call the stones of fire. Now, when the stones of fire, the number one thing the angels are called stones of fire. Or fiery stone. Now, remember, the angel will create an image and likeness of God. But they are called stones of fire, or fiery stone. What are we called? We are called lively stones. We are not called stones of fire. Do you understand? We are lively stones. But they are fiery stones. So just imagine all angels, they are all like lights moving, fire moving. And just think about Lucifer, or total sums of beauty, with the light sparkling and music, tabla, you know, he's, as you say right here, the workmanship of thy tabla and the pipes are prepared indeed. Practically that he's a musical angel. You always see about, the people say, he sings like an angel. Or she sings like an angel. She walks like an angel. What does it mean by, why always before the angel? Because there's something special about angelic beings, isn't it? You see. And if you ever have visions of angel flowing, moving, you always see her as light. And always moving very graceful. Huh? It doesn't move like Goliath. Certainly not. Or another walk like a dinosaur. So there's always this imagery that we have the Bible show us. Then he said right there in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. You pronounce cherub. But Hebrew pronounce has cherub. And that covereth. And I have set thee, and thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You see what I mean? You move among all the other angels. You are the angel that covereth. You are the one that have the authority. You are the mountains of God. You were placed above all the other authorities. Huh? So now we have in the Bible that we have three archangels that we know. We don't know how many there are. But we know that there are three mentioned in the Bible. You have Lucifer. You have Michael. And Gabriel. It's alright? Now of course there are those who teach that Michael, Archangel Michael, is actually Jesus Christ, because the name Michael means Prince of God. And this has been even going on even among the anti-message people. It was taught in some denomination. That's silly, isn't it? Then you might just say Gabriel also is also Jesus Christ. Huh? Then you might just say the word Joel. So, you know, Jehovah is God, you know, that name must be that He is God. I mean, you cannot take a name. A name is just what it is. So we have three angels that we know in the Bible. And Lucifer, in fact, is mentioned as the highest of all. Right? I mean, if Lucifer wasn't high, he would not dare to try to lift him up. You know. And there are even movies that are made back 20 years ago by also Jewish people. But the Bible talks about there were wars in heaven. You know, it's pretty interesting. Sometimes you wonder what, I watch them just to see what the idea that these people have. Oh, they show wars in heaven. They have all the different archangels, Simeon by name, all the different names. Michael was there, Gabriel was there, against Lucifer. You know. And that was kind of strange, you know. Yes, we know that there are wars in heaven, which of course the angels they are fighting. And you know what? The angels of God are defending us. As much as the evil fallen angel are trying to get at us. Remember that? You come to church, the devil trying to get on you. And you have the angels trying to help you. Don't give him a ride. You know the song? You travel on the highway, and all the devils on the roadside, wanting to get a ride from you, don't give them a ride. Keep going down the road. Keep your eyes on the highway. Right? And you know about the highway? Any highway on the road, the center part is the highest, isn't it? Because the road is always curved. Why? So that all the rubbish will always go to the side. See? So don't ever go to the side of the road and give any hitchhiker a ride. And the devil will always try to get a ride from us. Thou was perfect. Verse 15, in thy ways, from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee, thou was perfect in thy ways. Oh. I mean, so was Adam was perfect in the way he was created, you know, was without sin. Then Eve came up from his sight. And then sin came through the woman. And the man took the responsibility. And he brought sins to the world. So, but Satan within himself, Lucifer within himself, caused sin was found within him because he lifted himself up. Verse 16. The middle part. Fill the midst of thee with violence and thou hast sinned. Now Lucifer filled, just like the prince of Tyrus, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have fill the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of stones of fire. Lucifer was in charge of all the other angels. Just think about it. Was in charge of all the other angels. He was the big one. He was the one who he was the angel of the covered, full of authority. He walked among the midst of them. He walked upon the mountains of God, authorities of God that were given to the different angels. Then, of course, you know, he was puffed up and he filled the midst of thee of himself with violence. You know what he says right here? God says, I will cast thee as profane out on the mountain of God. That means I will remove and strip of your authority. And I will destroy thee, all covering kill from the midst of the stones of fire. I will stir up power and cast it out. For among them. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. You know that's where the curse is, huh? I said this before. Those girls, those sisters here, young ones, old ones, whatever you are, don't think that you are beautiful. And that's what happened to beautiful women in the world. They want to be missed Singapore, USA, then they want to be missed universe. Miss Universe, there's competition from all the other planets. Do you know what I mean? And they wanted to be, and then from there on, they were, you know, they were sought out to be models, go to the catwalks, and then they want to, then they'll get married to some rich movie producer, whatever, oh, make you a movie star. Huh? Beauty is a curse many times. The person doesn't know and realize it's only skin deep. Huh? Beauty does not hold with time. Remember I said that? Beauty will fade with time and you become an ugly old hack. Huh? But ugliness holds its own. You know ugliness? If you're ugly now, you're ugly even till you die. Even more ugly and holds its own. I'm always ugly and ugly and ugly, still ugly. But beauty gets down to this. You become ugly. Do you know what I mean? So, strip away the skin and you get nothing but two sockets, two little holes, you know, and some teeth. You know, maybe they're missing teeth, they are. Even that's what we are. We are all nothing but bones and flesh. And when you die, your beauty, the moment you die, I mean, maybe you're 20-something years old, you're the beauty of the whole universe. You die, you just watch. Leave the body alone. 3 hours, let's give a watching. See how the body begin to decay in a few days. Or maybe 1-2 days later, you see, oh, maggots. Eating up your flesh. Your flesh is not permanent. Hello, wake up. It's not permanent. But your spirit is. That's flesh. But when it gets into your head, the way you wanted to think that you can live forever in your beauty, You know, Martha is 20, 30, 50 years old, 40 years old. He started to go to the spas and massage. And then after he come under the knife, you know, more knife, pull at the skins. But all is on the face. But you see the body, all this flap here. You know, your flap under here, Brother Kadir, or that, don't you, Sister Aggie, you realize here will be flabby. And nobody going to do anything here, but during the face. Then what? What does it do to a person to continue in this? You understand what I'm saying? So that's what Lucifer is. Oh, so beautiful. You're lifted up because of your beauty. But you have corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And that's true, huh? A person may be wise. You know, we can get young people, young girls, going to you. They've studied knowledge, understanding, they learn wisdom. But then when they saw themselves beautiful, oh, boys come after them and so on. And, you know, oh, why don't you enter Miss Singapore, enter into something, and then, you know, oh my, corrupt your wisdom. To be simple. You know. And that's why we wonder whether beauty is a good thing or not. Right? Of course, beauty in nature, it's wonderful to look at. The beauty of the rose and things like that. Even that the big flowers that only bloom once in don't know how many years, the one that stings, that stands something like 1 or 2 meters tall, that stings, only bloom one a day and then it dies out. My, it's beautiful, even though it stings. Isn't it? And there are all kinds of beauties in the world that we can look at when we talk about beauties. Beauty is only in the eyes of the beholder. Otherwise, everything else is just skin deep. Do you see that? Now, I'm so glad that God, when Jesus came, God did not sculpture Jesus Christ to look like some Hollywood star, you know? Huh? He didn't make Jesus Christ look stand 6 feet tall, or 6'6". Weigh 200 pounds. Something like that. You know the song we sing? No. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, he's just a common man. There's nothing beautiful, nothing about him that we desire. He didn't say when you walk down the road, we know he's just one of those common people. But if you have Bollywood, Hollywood actor, or whatever, walk among the street, 6 foot tall, handsome looking, you know, chiseled face, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, oh, look among all of hundreds, everybody will look at that man. Do you know what I'm saying? But nobody look at Jesus Christ. He walks among the people and nobody know who he was. It's common. I'm glad for that, you know. It appeals to, well, to common sense. I mean, everything that is just for the common people. For people who don't look for anything beautiful or big. And that's why young people, when you are in school and you grow up, I hope, if the world continues, that is, that you know how to look at life. Look at your wisdom, your under knowledge that you have gained. How to rightly divide. How to walk in the truth, walk in the light, walk in something that is righteous. Or else you get splitted up and you're being deceived and go into the world. You know what? Sometimes you get so deep into it, very hard to come out. I can tell you that. You can go into it so deep, it's very hard to come out. That's why the song that we sung early on, creating me a new heart, O Lord. When I was young, I backslid for 2 years. I went into all this world of pop songs, you know. Just because one word that my teacher said, when I first went to the secondary school, the first day we don't have any. We are still waiting for books and getting our book lease. And so the teacher said, oh, everybody come on, sing, sing, sing. So, no, we have nothing but to do, we sing. Hey, criticize. Oh, you people don't know how to sing. You should sing like Elvis Presley or Ricky Nelson or the Beatles or whatever it is. You know, and that teacher today become one of the MP of Singapore. Yes. And so most of us, and then, you know, people are, I was only in secondary school, right? And it's about 13 years old, right? 12 or 13 years old, isn't it? So kind of easy to manipulate it. Well, I might say, yeah, okay, let's go and learn something. So now I was caught up in this pop song that I backslid from church for almost 2 years. And then the Lord began to deal with me. Oh my, when He dealt with me, of course I repent and I cry like anything. Really. Went back to church and the message was given to me. Prodigal son come home the day when I went back to church. Went to Pentecostal church. Right at the back of the church, and the preacher was preaching, was pointing, prodigal son come home, and that was the first time I ever been in the church. And I see a big hand pointing at me, prodigal son come home. And then after the altar call, I came up and I was there for 2 hours. Everybody went home already. The pastor was sitting at the pew waiting patiently for me. I was crying for 2 hours. You see, create in me a new heart, a clean heart, O Lord, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see. You know, if we wasn't hearing the voice of God, I guess we'd probably go deeper into it. Whether I know how to sing or not, it doesn't matter, you know. Just collect all those pop songs and buy all those movie magazines and, you know, pop song magazine and just sing in the toilet. That's probably all I could do. Do you know what I mean? See? So, that's how a person can get deep into. So young people are easily deceived and going to all these like Singapore idols that you have, and people get crazy and scream and all that, wasting their time and money. Maybe some people say, oh, it's a passing teenage thing. Right? But yeah, maybe it's a passing teenage thing. But we need to consider the time that you, what is important. As Brother Kerman said, what is important? The big marbles or the sand? Right or not? So you need to, huh? Okay? So let us continue here. The heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou was clothed by thy wisdom. By reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities. So you see what happened was that Lucifer lifted himself so high up that he brought corruption into the kingdom. We want to go to another place, the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And read 12-14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thee weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation, in the sights of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the crowd. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sight of the pit. Huh? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12-14. I think here, you cannot dispute the fact. Lucifer, in all his beauty, in all his some total of wisdom and so on, was so lifted up in his heart to be like God. He fell. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, see, above all the angels of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will be like the Most High. You know what? You find that even all the scripture that we have today, yet we have preachers that will even step beyond the bound of what they really know and be like Lucifer. Now we have a man like Lauri Muthu Krishna in India. Now he believed, like he would say, like one of his disciples who laughed him, said to me when I was in India, he said he laughed him because one day he was going to the office. And I talked with him. Lauri had a talk with him. So Lauri looked out the window. He said, do you see the cloud over there? He said, yes. Do you know that whenever I go, the cloud goes with me? And the man said, Then he asked his disciple, one of his disciples says, Do you know who I am? Then he looked, just looked at him. He said, he didn't answer anything. Then he said, I am he. Whenever you use a word like this, I am he. Who is he you're referring to? Satan? Of course, it is not. I am he you're referring to? Christ. You are quoting a scripture verse. Remember Jesus said, I am he. Or I am. The word he is added in the Bible. God says, I am that I am. I am. When they ask Jesus, who are you? He says, Jesus says, I am. And the word, of course, is that I am he. Means referring to the one that was mentioned in the Old Testament. I am. Do you understand? So, Lord says, I am he. Well, the disciples say, no, you are the donkey that carried Christ. And he said, told me that, Lord, he mentioned it the second time again. He says, no, I'm he. And finally, he told him again, you are a donkey that carries Christ. And he walked out. You know, you come to a point when a man gets so packed up, like Lucifer. Well, that man can have a lot of miracles he performed. Yes, he raised the dead. He did a lot of wonderful work. No wonder the book of Matthew said what Jesus said. Many will come to me last day. Lord, Lord, I've done this in your name. Cast out devil in your name. I do many wonderful work in your name. I heal the sick in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquities. Huh? So Lucifer wanted to be like the Most High. And here we are preachers today. Well, they believe many places. In the past, in history, we can read about it. They want to claim that they are Christ. You know, one wonder the Bible mentioned about false Christ. Not just false anointed one, but false Christ. As one, somebody who claimed that they are the Christ. It's one good enough to be a false anointed one, but just don't go beyond claiming that you are the Christ. Oh my. See how bad that is? And the Bible says, I will bring you down to hell. You know what it says right here? I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. You know, you see what the Bible here said? I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. You know what? We have three heavens. We know that. So as I said, this is the first heaven. The second heaven is a space out there. From here up about 10 miles, it's a breathable atmosphere. I think it's about 10 miles. Then after that, you're probably impossible to breathe. And beyond that, there is what we call the universe, second heavens. And then beyond that, I don't know where that is, you can't see, that's the third heaven, where God dwells. Huh? Of course, there are some people who theorize, oh, the Bible mentioned here, in the sack of the north, you know, somewhere up there, they're trying to point to that area where the thing it is, where God dwells there, and his throne is up there. Okay, let me say this one thing here. When you look at verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. It tells me one thing. Lucifer was not up there. Lucifer was down here. The angels were all down here. You agree with me? Where are the angels today now? They are still here in the first heaven. They are working. Do you understand that? They are working. If they have anything to report, they go up to heaven. Huh? But at those times, their earth here was their domain. The earth was their domain. They have dominion over all the things that God has created. But you know one thing, sometimes, as I said before, well, every one of us have a job to do. Some people find a certain job very mundane. I don't know about housewife. Get up in the morning, oh, laundry, go to market, prepare food, prepare breakfast, prepare lunch. Whatever, huh? It's every day is the same old routine. Then sweep the floor, vacuum the place, and whatever. Kind of mundane, isn't it? And now something you go to office, it's everything, it's a mundane thing. If you're a man, bank teller every day, you start counting money, you know, everything. Oh, it's a mundane thing, isn't it? Everything's a mundane. Even a surgeon, Every day cut up the body, look inside, patch it up, close it up. Wasn't everything mundane? Unless you are somebody who is maybe like a backpacker, you know. Pack your bag and just travel around the world, relax, and don't you care about anything else. I think maybe in that situation, Lucifer and all the angels, you might think that he might be a while to get tired of it, looking after all the animals and control this earth. Well, you know what? God has to test the angels. Maybe there's no fun looking after all the dinosaurs. But let me tell you one thing. You know what? Tracy, she always thinking, oh, in the new heaven, new earth, would the dinosaur be back? Would God put dinosaur in the new heaven, new earth? Oh, I would like to go and play with them, you know. You know, when you look at all these dinosaurs, you know, all the toys and the drawing that you have. Even maybe T-Rex, so fierce and all this. You say, oh my, wonderful, huh? Of course, in those days, they are tame. Wasn't it? I mean, animals don't eat people, don't eat animals. So just imagine you just want to go and play with these animals. Even now, the dog. Some of you have dogs or cats, whatever, you love them. Huh? You like to see animals, you look at a tiger in the zoo, you feel, oh, you wish that you can pet it, huh? You know? Or hug a panda. You know what I mean? Or King Kong, you know, gorilla, hug them. Actually, they're very tame. Actually, they're very tame. You know? So, I mean, you might think that after a while you get tired of having control. But what happened in the millennium? When Christ comes to rule, and you and I were given to rule with Him, you in a certain place, you have a certain job to do, would you find it tedious? For 1,000 years! Think about it, for 1,000 years, you are ruling with Christ, you know what I mean? Every day, rule with Him and see all the nations of the world, or the parts of where you're supposed to be responsible for, and make sure everything runs, and they obey the law and so on. Do you think that you get tired? Let me tell you this, let's say the world continues, right now, if your body can live another 300 years, huh? You can live 300 years, and you do every day the same job, how do you feel? I find it very, it's a dread when I went to work in the mental hospital, Woodbridge, and I was living in Queenstown, and though the hospital is still there at Yio Chu Kang, do you know how far it is from Queenstown to all the way there? And in those days, back in the 60s, my goodness, they don't have MRT. Neither does the bus that you have today. You know that? The bus get out early this time, but in those days, no. I have to get up today at 7 o'clock to work. How do I get there? 7 o'clock to work. The bus doesn't come out at 6 o'clock. And it takes more than an hour to go at that time, because those bus are not what bus today you have. And I have to cycle from Queenstown all the way to Cathay, Orchard Road, lock my bike there and take the bus. Every day I do that, I go, oh my. It was really tedious. But I believe what we have is an attitude towards work. And I said this before, when Christ comes and your body is changed, don't tell me that there's no more work. I tell you this before, the imagery people give that you will be sitting on cot number 9 and play your harp and lying back there and singing up there, I don't know what you're singing to. You are not going to have this kind of thing, you understand? Huh? Or sitting by the banks of the river and every day just not doing any work. Wow. Jesus said, "My hither to my Father work, so I work." And if the Father work, the Son work, what about the rest of the families? Shake leg? Play the harp? No. That's the reason why in the new heaven, new earth, there is work to do. And the Bible ends at that, and you do not know what goes beyond. I think there's a lot of surprise coming. You know what I mean? When Christ comes up the millennium and all this thing over, God created new heaven, new earth, you just watch what the Father is going to do. Then the Father will tell us what to do. There will be a job to do. I don't know what it will be. Because mankind is young. 6,000 years only. Huh? Think about it, huh? 6,000 years only. Beyond that, what was the Father doing? Beyond that, what was God doing? Because He must have a whole lot of plan. He takes all sweet time to plan. whole lot of time. Think about it. Yeah? So we look at this now. Angels were on the earth. They were being tested on the earth. But death came upon the earth when Satan, of course, Lucifer, get all the, all the animals to fight among themselves when he was cast out. When he wanted to be like God, God stripped him of his power. God stripped him of his power. You know what Jesus said in the book of John? He says, I saw Satan like lightning fell from heaven. As I said again, people interpret that Jesus looked up and saw Satan fell from heaven and give him a picture that, well, he actually was up there and he came down to earth. It is not so. So I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It means that he was stripped of his power in heavenly places where he was having control. And you are sitting in heavenly places. Do you know that? Huh? You understand you're sitting in heavenly places? And Lucifer was in heavenly places. And he was the most beautiful, the highest of all the angels. But in one instant, because he wanted to be like God, God stripped him of his estate. He no longer belonged in that position. Do you understand? He became an adversary of God. Well, he caused all the other angels to get all the other angels. He drew, the Bible says, about one third of the angelic being with him and caused them to fall. That's why we have the stars here. One third of all the angels in heaven. Now, I don't know how many angels there are, but I can tell you one thing for sure, that you will have at least one angel watching over you. Do you know that? Because they will create ministering spirit. They will have at least one angel looking over us. So how many millions of angels would there be? And one third was stripped of the authority as they follow Lucifer. You know what happened to that date? They caused the earth to be polluted when all the dinosaurs began to kill each other. You know, animals were not supposed to fight among themselves, eat each other, I mean. All animals are created vegetarians. Huh? And one of these days in the millennium, so will the earth be. Mankind for 1,000 years in the regeneration, all those natural men and women that enter into the millennium when Christ comes, they will all will have to be dehybrided. Huh? They will all have to be obeying the word of God, and slowly, from meat eating, you're going back to eating vegetarian or food. Going back to vegetable and fruits. You know, in the days when Adam and Eve was created, they were not eating any meat. Huh? Do you understand that? And I think that meat was given a lot because of the body dying. And meat supplemented. But the word is continued with all the pollution. Even the meat of animals are also bad for health today. You look at the chicken that you have been eating. In those days when I was in the 60s, when we have chicken, the chicken drumstick is very small. You know that? But today, Mike Tyson, the chicken drumstick, they call it Tyson chicken. You have seen it in the supermarket? Tyson chicken, the drumstick is huge. And they use steroids, it seems. Or some hormones they give it to the chicken feed. And now what we have chicken, and we have young people and parents working, children goes to the fast food joint, Kentucky Fried Chicken, they eat a lot of that stuff until they all grow big too. Mike Tyson. They all grow big like that. Do you know, and what happened to your health? And that's what our government is worried, huh? Young people are all getting very big. So we have GM food. We have all kinds of things being done. And of course it's not healthy. But you know, when Christ comes to rule, everything is going to go back to the original law that he implemented when Adam and Eve was on this earth. See? So when Lucifer fell, he got all the other angels to follow him. Of course, one third fell, went with him. And the book of John 8, 44. John chapter 8, 44. It says here, ye are your father the devil, as Jesus Christ talked to the Pharisees, and the lies of our father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speak of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay, 2 Peter 2, 4. 2 Peter 2, 4. For if God spare not the angel the sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into the chain of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So angels that were rebellious were cast out. And some specific angels, they go beyond the bound of the boundary of the estate. They were actually chained up. Those that might have done something really bad, I couldn't figure out what they have done, but only a certain one they were not allowed, but they were chained up in darkness. Because the book of Jude says that. And it is from that book of Jude, chapter verse 6, that theologian assume that this fallen angel cohabited with women of the earth and produces the giants. Alright? But that is an assumption. As I said, Jesus had told us that the angels are not given to marriage and marrying. They do not marry. They cannot reproduce. Do you understand that? They can't. So the theory that the angels change themselves into men. Of course, in fantasy, they can. In fiction writing, huh? They could. They transform, become a man, and then, you know, they cohabit with a woman. But a spirit is a spirit. Is that right? You see? Or some will say, they possess a man, and they cohabit with a woman. But that is different. Huh? You understand what I mean? That is demon possession has nothing to do with what they call angels transforming themselves into man. You see? And that's what we have, that is spiritually will produce a child that become very rebellious. That is true. That's why we have even demon-possessed men. When they married, or even schizophrenia. Schizophrenic people, those are very extreme. Those are very hard to help. And if schizophrenia married, the child tend to be schizophrenic. See? That is, demon-possession is different. Okay? And so when we have the book of John 8, 44 says that, of course, that he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, the beginning is not when he went into the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve was. He was a murderer from the beginning, was when he was in his own period of time, when Lucifer was in charge of the earth. Remember, he rebelled, he fell out, then he caused the animal to kill among themselves. So what we have is that the animal destroyed each other, killed each other. He was a murderer from the beginning. But when people read John chapter 8, verse 44, they think that Jesus Christ was referring to Satan getting Cain to kill Abel. Right? It is not so. He was a murderer from the beginning. And the Bible also said, continue, and abode not in the truth when he was asked the question. Remember when Lucifer killed the animals? Then God called him up. Just like God called Cain. Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? When God saw all the carnage on the earth, God called Lucifer up and asked him, what have you done? He didn't tell the truth. He told a lie. You know what I mean? I don't know, just like Cain. I don't know. Where is Cain? Where is everybody, your brother? I don't know. If what happens in the garden, what happened outside the Garden of Eden in the days of Adam, when Cain killed everyone, God asked Cain, where is everybody, thy brother? I don't know. And other brothers keep on get angry and all upset. If you see that, you can be sure, if you go back in time to the time when you, Lucifer, and all the angels were tested, Lucifer did the same thing. Huh? When he got stripped on his estate, just like Cain offered to gods an offering, they were not acceptable. When Lucifer wanted to be like God, God removed his authority. He got upset, he got all the animals to kill. Then God said, what have you done? Who did this? He probably says, I don't know. Huh? I'm not in charge, I'm not responsible. He told a lie. You must understand that when Jesus was talking about your father, the devil, the last father you will do, he was a murderer from the beginning, way back. And because of the carnage, because of all the carcasses, and remember that, there is always the African proverb says, when the two elephants fight, the grass gets hurt. Huh? And I remember, I think our mentor ministers, huh? He said, even when the elephant make love, the grass gets hurt. But you know what happened? If you look at all the dinosaurs, if they were to fight each other and kill each other, remember all these bodies that died. The trees were broken down. It became very violent. The whole earth was filled with violence. Now, if you read in Ezekiel, where the judgment was given, right? Fill the whole earth in the midst of you. God said, you fill the whole earth with violence. If animals start killing themselves, you know what happened to the body? It rots and decay, and the earth become polluted. The foul smell. Do you understand that? You know, why do, in the war, why do they have to bury the dead? If there is, let's say, for example now, you look at this tsunami that happened a couple of years back. It swept the whole Aceh town. All gone. Hundreds and hundreds of bodies were there. What do you think they do? Just leave it there? What will happen? The smell will permeate all around for miles. I can tell you that if you just let it to rot. They have to dig a hole and pile up the body and burn or whatever. Bury it. So all those animals out there, dinosaurs, these are huge. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Miles and miles of animals fighting among them, killing each other. All the vegetation were destroyed, down, they rot. And what happened to the atmosphere? What did they do to the atmosphere? You can't breathe. The earth is fouled up. Huh? Corrupt the whole atmosphere. Corrupt the whole earth. And so, God had to finally call it to a stop. He had to. Because the earth is in a bad shape. So when He calls the earth to a stop, then what we have? The earth had become without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the earth was frozen up by freezing the earth. Now, it's an important thing to understand about this freezing. Scientists have tried to find out why. They talk about ice age, talk about all this. I mean, there are evidence on the earth. Then they wonder why, how did the dinosaur die out suddenly? And they theorized that it was a comet or a meteorite that hits the earth. Boom. All the dust stirs up, block the sun, all the whole atmosphere become darkened, block the sun, the whole earth, having no warm, became iced. You understand? But I was thinking that would be too slow. Because you know, in the fossil they have dug up, they have an animal, you know, biting an animal, and that's stuck like that. You know what? You know, probably you've seen those cartoons. Animal gets bites and gets stuck all of a sudden. Huh? Now, hold, if you have a meteorite or a comet hit the earth, and the sun will blot out. If an animal bites another animal, he doesn't feel the cold suddenly, and then go into a state of, you know what I mean? You know it's the cold, but probably throw that away and try to find some place warm, right? You know, but I believe is this, is all that God do is to switch off the sunlight. No? As simple as that. You just switch off the light, suddenly everything's gone. Everything frozen instantly. Animal walk and bite, everything was standing stop motion. Just like that. And that's why they found all these fossil animals, saber tooth, some kind of tiger with big teeth or whatever, and then some of the other creatures. They bite, and then the meat is in their mouth. Just frozen like that. So God had to freeze the whole earth. And you know what? We already say, if you look at what I try to explain to you, the earth have this shrouding of water. Huh? In the book of Psalms, chapter 104, verse 5 to 6, that God had used this covering of water around the earth. Huh? Think about it. Huh? And I believe it's probably more than 10 miles up in space. Whole, this blanket of water around it. Now what happened is when God suddenly switched off the sun, the power of the sun, all the water just grows up, all freeze the top. And all, you know what I mean? Just come down and just freeze it. Well, over time, God left it for millions of years, or thousands or ten thousands of years. Remember, the earth, in the center of the earth, there is a core of fire. It's heat in there. Heat will cause metal elements to expand. Right? The core on top will push it down. So there will always be a constant movement. Constant movement. And so what happened is, the animals are trapped in layers and layers of rocks and pressured up. And you have fallen trees, vegetation, they were trapped between rocks and certain crevices. Over time, they became crude oil. Became oil. Or black gold. So these are left for millions of years. Think about it. And God, no hurry. You know? So what we have then, that's where the Bible says in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth had become without form and void. And the darkness upon the face of the deep. So all the water now, suddenly now saturated now. So from heaven, if you look from heaven, above, you look down on the earth, it's no longer the blue earth. Because there was no light at all. It was all total darkness. The sun is gone. Huh? Remember this. We are a solar system. We are a solar system. Just imagine that now. That this feast of mine is a solar system. All there are planets. How many planets are there? They discover new planets some more. Huh? How many planets now are there? 9 planets. Going around the sun. That's a solar system. And this solar system is moving around together with other solar system in the galaxy and all. The galaxy moving, a super galaxy, blah, 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 and all that. Okay. If you want to know about science, go and read. You know what I'm saying? So, just think about this, the solar system, our earth is inside there. But there's no light. Huh? All the solar system, you see all the super telescope, they see all those light up there because they have all those stars up there. But here, ours, there's no light here. Just like your house, if you switch off the light and every house has light, you have no light, there's no light here, right? Isn't it? Common sense will tell you. You go up in an aeroplane and then you land in a country, like especially you go into India, middle of the night, the plane is going to land. From the air, you can see, you know, little diamonds of light here and there. Some places, if total darkness, I see one little light there. Probably there was one house out there in the whole village. But of course, city have all this light. So you're trying to imagine. And this whole place is a universe. Our have no sun, the sun is off. Total darkness. And so the Bible says, and the darkness upon the face of the deep. Completely, even if you look, if you can look at the earth, the whole thing, all the way down, the deep, there's no light. Can't see nothing. Frozen up, ice cold. So how long was it left? We have no idea how long it was. But God left it. Here we have unknown ages of time before God recreated the earth. And that's when the Bible says in the next part of verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now it's a recreation. And that's 6,000 years ago. Huh? And don't tell me the dinosaur was 6,000 years ago. Not possible. Because the Ark of Noah could not hold all the animals. But those who believe it say they can. By taking all the little dinosaur. Huh? Baby dinosaur, you know what I mean? All Noah had to do is go and get a pair of T-Rex, even a baby T, bring it up to the baby Brontosaurus, Stegosaurus, Brachiosaurus, Argosaurus, whatever saurus you wanted, he find, pick it all in there. So they live in the house for 1 year. Of course, they start to grow. You know how fast animals grow? Okay, assuming that they start growing. 1 year later, this T-Rex and this Stegosaurus, I mean, it's we would say, compared to our lifespan, maybe it's just they have primary school. Primary school kid. Get out into the out of the ark. There are so many hundreds of different kinds. But why did they die out? That's the question I ask. The theory is, they die out because there's no vegetation for them to eat. Oh, how come the elephant survived? How come the rhinoceros survived? How come the hippopotamus survived? How come the gorilla survived? How come the panda, who depends so much on bamboo, survived? Can you imagine? And how you have the Brachiosaurus, and you have tiny little dinosaur, huh? Not big one, those small ones. Those are those that bite you and run. You know what I mean? How did they die out? You know, they base it on some verses of the scripture that carries no water. As I said, if you want to be consistent with the Bible, you have to first of all understand the various part of the creation of God. Where did the angel begin? You need to know when they begin. When they were tested, when was their fall? Those that follow Satan or Lucifer. Is that right? That couldn't be 6,000 years ago. Then you've got to answer the question, what are these dinosaur fossils? When did they exist? And then you answer further question. If the dinosaur dies out, why other animals did not die out? Why, what about the sea creatures? Do you know the sea creatures? They don't need to be on the ark, huh? Do you know that? Does snail need to get out of the water? Yes, snail does. Huh? You know that, no? Yeah, I was saying that Noah waited patiently for the snail to go up the ark. Come on! You know? Over a snail, yeah. What about clams? They don't need to be on the ark. Scallop, they don't need to be on the ark. Crabs, they don't need to be on the ark. Isn't that right? But there are some of those fossils found, some of these creatures, they're no longer on the earth. They all died out. So how could it be that they were 6,000 years? They have to be before 6,000 years. You know. So I sort of find it, I pity my Presbyterian friend. You know, he always jumped to conclusion. When he reads a certain book, he liked it. He said, yeah, this is possible. And he jumped to it. You know, at one time he believed that universalism, that all men will be saved. That every one of us, sinner, non-sinner, will all be returned back to God and live on this earth. And I asked him, I said, really? Go and look into history. Take your calculator and start calculating it. From the day of Adam, how many percent of people are born each day in a year? Okay? And then by the time Jesus Christ, 6,000 years later, how many people from the time of Adam to our time will be born? Okay? And then put every one of us on this earth. Is it possible? Do you think the earth has enough space? Yeah? To put all those people that are sinners out there. The giants, the wicked ones, the Goliath, and all the Ok Bashan, all those giants, all come back. Put on this. And then all the dinosaurs, he says every creature is also come back. He says, oh, bring all the dinosaurs back. Yeah. Bring all the ants and all the cats and all the dogs and all the rats and all the cockroaches. Put it all on this earth. Aja, you believe that stuff? I just cannot understand how a person believes in this. So when I question, he says, oh yeah, it doesn't make sense. I say, yeah, of course. You know, all you need to do is to use a common sense. You see, and the Bible says all the wicked will be burned up. And this earth will be made new and for the children of God. And pass into it. And that's the purpose of it all. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for precious truth. Thank you for understanding, O Lord, that you open our minds to know of your word of truth, and we thank you truly that thou hast blessed us as a people to be a part of the family of our Lord Jesus Christ, being that he is our elder brother, and that he has paid a price for us, Father, to come to you, back to you, and be reconciled to you. We appreciate, Lord, all this that you have done for us. We bless thy holy name. And we ask that you continue, Lord, as we see the world in this condition now, we ask that you bless Israel. And just, Lord, we hasten that coming, Lord. We are watching and praying, Father, all these things being unfold before us. And we are looking truly, Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ to return and set up his kingdom of righteousness, where there will be righteousness forever, Lord. We are thankful, Father, for your grace towards us and your mercy. We ask to continue, Lord, to walk with us, be with us, and grant us the strength, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.